Attention crew, this is your Captain Caliban speaking. This is a supplemental episode of Enterprising Individuals, where we bring you news and tidbits from the world of Trek, also interviews with special guests, and a few little surprises along the way. Thanks for joining me this week. I hope that you're safe and healthy wherever you are, and you're still keeping the faith, whatever your faith of choice may be. Of the heart, perhaps. That's an unbendable, unbreakable one, I hear. If you've been paying attention to current Trek news, you probably know that there is a torrent, a storm of new Trek media on its way for audiences around the world, in addition to new installments of ongoing Trek franchises, and it can be easy to get lost in the flood of updates. But fear not! To help kick off our new season of the show and to keep you informed about Trek-related news, Mikan Hanna of the Just Enough Trope podcast and the Sailor Noob podcast is on the show today to help us pick apart all the show announcements, updates, and Trek news items on the ticker. When not talking Star Trek news, Mika can be heard opining on pop culture topics on the Just Enough Trope podcast, now in its 7th year with over 400 episodes. You can catch it on Twitter at Just Enough Trope. And if you're an anime fan, she's the host of the Sailor Noob podcast, an episode-by-episode look at the original Sailor Moon series. That can be found at @noob_sailor on Twitter. We're on Twitter as well, of course. Follow this show at EISTPOD on Twitter and drop us a line or join our Discord through our link in the show notes and talk Trek and pop culture with us at your leisure. Let's get right to it today. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. That's the way the news goes. And with that, let's get underway. Oh, what a year it was.
Are we reminiscing about 2020 or what?
We have to.
Yeah, okay.
Soon you will be dying to reminisce about 2020 when you live through 2021.
Oh my God.
The world's worst sequel.
It's not looking great.
high hopes.
That could be.
It could be dashed.
Yeah, that is a good way of describing 2021. Everyone's like, ah. New year, new chapter. This is going to be great. Here we are almost, we're in March.
Right.
Firmly in March.
We are.
Spring is right around the corner, and we are still in the middle of a pandemic. And I think I read recently that is either 8% of the adult population of the U.S. or 8% of the total population of the U.S. has been vaccinated so far. And we need 80% for herd immunity.
Herd humidity is, yeah, it's like when you're on a bus and, it's everybody's breathing out. And or when you're in a car in the winter, and the windows start fogging up. It's like, oh, I don't have a choice. I have to respire. That's just the way it's going to be. So you got to... Do the right thing.
Right.
Think about people who live in tropical zones and they don't even know what a defroster is.
No, you don't need it.
You don't even roll the windows up.
No.
In Hawaii, the airport terminals have no windows. It's just open to the, it's a lot of cinder block, but it's just open to the outside.
That's weird.
Because they want you to, when I was there a long time ago.
Okay.
Because they want you to immediately experience they're glorious.
In the tropics.
Yeah, you get the lay. And...
Okay, I get that, but that weirds me out, man.
Well, for security reasons, they're probably fenced in now.
Probably.
Yeah, things are a little different.
But
than
what
they used
happens
to be.
If it it's like
no, you can't take that pineapple juice on the.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How many cc's are in this coconut? You got to drink it all right here. That's a thing on the internet. You want to freak out a TSA person? You fill a shampoo bottle with. I don't know, high C or something like that. And then they're like, no, sorry, you can't take it. It's more than 3 ounces. You're like, all right. Pop the top off. Just,
oh, my.
And then just throw the bottle away.
Has anybody, actually done that?
I don't. They must have seen everything at this point, right? I mean, I've been in the scanning machine. I know they've seen everything.
Yeah, right.
But, it's every single day. You fly twice for the holidays of the year or whatever when there's not a pandemic going on.
Sure.
But there's people that fly every day for whatever reason,
Yeah.
So billions of transactions have happened here. And so they must have seen everything at this point. I know they've seen a guy lose his favorite safety tool
because
he packed
know.
Too fast.
Yeah. Yep. Still bitter about that.
Pretty bitter. That thing, I used that in college theater to tighten up light rigs and build flats and do all kinds of things.
Well, now you got a new one. Doesn't have the same memories, though.
Yeah, but like Ship of Theseus style, it's not the Ship of Theseus. I'm so glad everybody, thanks to WandaVision, now we've reached total saturation of the Ship of Theseus thought experiment.
Peak Ship of Theseus.
Yes.
It
used to be just esoteric sci-fi show fans, and now everybody knows about it.
Yep.
But they call it the Ship of Theseus.
What?
Which is like, yeah.
Seriously?
It's like the thesis of the Ship of Theseus.
Oh my gosh. Say that 10 times fast.
Ship of Theseus.
Yeah, wow.
So, not quite what it is, but that's okay. thanks for joining me to do the news again.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, didn't want to have you. Just kidding.
Well, should I see myself out?
I wanted to have you. No, we have to do a show. And then you can, just the window's right there, you can open it up, jump out.
Okay.
Wanted to do this later, but things hit so hard and fast. We have to talk about them while they're still fresh.
Yes.
And so we're doing that. But first, I want to know, is it true that your podcast, Sailor Noob, consistently trends in the top 25 anime podcasts on iTunes Canada?
It is true. And man, am I excited about it. Those Canadians.
What is it about, you know, Canadians and anime?
I don't know, but I have to salute our neighbors to the north, and all besides being polite and having wonderful maple syrup, having great taste in podcasts, because
loving that anime.
Yeah.
Of course, they have, you know, fan subs and translations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's a different country, a different language, and so... Just add an A onto and the end of everything.
Yeah, right.
Like some of the localizations for American broadcasts of Japanese stuff are so weird because they'll put like, you know, if somebody's drinking tea, they'll put like Coke on the side of it or pop or something like that. Or like if they're eating a traditional Japanese food, like a meat bun or something, the dialogue will be like, oh, these cookies, oh, they're pretty good.
It's
like, what are you going to blow a kid's mind that somebody's eating a bun?
It's weird what – I think that it's changing now. But, yeah, in the 90s, it was especially bad. Like, it was just like, oh, people won't know what this is. And it's so different culturally. People won't – let's not even bother allowing people to be curious and, like, look into this themselves by, you know, showing what the culture is authentically. No, let's just completely change it.
Yeah.
Like, I think onigiri for Pokemon were called jelly donuts.
Jelly donuts.
Which, like, if you know what an onigiri is, you know, which it's a rice ball. It couldn't be further from the... And it's like, what?
It's not... Yeah, it's a completely different experience.
It's completely different.
So. I just figured that maybe there was a Canadian localization there, you know, beating their katanas into hockey sticks or something like that.
Probably.
But perhaps not. And we should probably get to the Star Trek news because, like I said, there is a lot. But thanks again for joining me.
Absolutely.
We were talking about films and film franchises earlier, and Star Trek IV is back on the books.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. It was reported that Kalinda Vasquez, who is a writer and television producer, has been chosen by Paramount to write a new Star Trek film, which will be produced by J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot production company.
Wow. I'm kind of surprised because this was like, we weren't hearing anything about this for so long. I just kind of assumed that it just wasn't happening.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I think what's paramount at the studio right now is getting all these Trek TV shows out. But, you know, that doesn't mean, and plus, why rush a movie into production if you don't know if you can even release it, right?
Well, with the last year, yeah, exactly.
But it's with the, hopefully the light at the end of the tunnel, not being a train coming, they're trying to get ahead of this, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Vasquez is a female writer, you know, is significant. Of course, they hired a female director for their last shot at this, Star Trek IV. So they've got that. She has written on Discovery. She wrote a short trek, and she wrote part two of the Mirror Universe adventure that they had last season on Terra Firma. And she's also been a producer on the show, which, like, I mean, the Coffee Boy is a producer on the show. There's a million producers. But still, she's done that. She's worked on Fear the Walking Dead and Marvel's Runaways as well.
Okay, cool.
So she's bringing a lot of experience. Fun fact, her name, actually, her parents must be Star Trek fans because she was named after the character Kalinda from the original series episode by any other name.
What?
Yeah.
So she has...
It's in her blood.
Yeah, from
it's
birth.
It's in your blood.
She has a connection to Trek, and now she's working in Trek. I mean, her parents must be freaking out. They have to be Trekkies, right?
Yeah.
At least to some degree to name your kid that.
Yeah. It was that or Mannix, and yeah, they just sounded better. You know, yeah. It was a girl, so. what do you expect from a Star Trek 4?
I'm kind of hoping that Abrams is still producing it, right?
Yeah.
It would be nice if it could be a little bit of a
Yeah, I don't think departure. They're going to let Kurtzman do this one.
No. I mean, I'm not saying go all original Trek movie 4 and do like something goofy like the whales and stuff like that. I'm not saying necessarily I don't really think that they will do that. Do we know yet if it is going to be the Abrams actors, characters portraying their characters still? I mean,
great question.
Besides Chekhov, obviously.
We don't know.
Okay.
But sources point to yes.
Okay.
Although getting them together was the problem last time. And if you're going to write this thing, you got to kind of know what you're working with.
Right.
So, yeah, we don't know.
I mean, maybe they could do something like where the characters are scattered to the four winds and they it'll be kind of like getting like the band back together again or something like that.
Well, it's interesting you should say that because I was talking to somebody recently. Oh, that's right. It was my co-host, Gooey Fame, on my podcast, Backtracking. And we were talking about how I want to see – it's funny that they take all the – they take the step of creating an entirely new universe, not just saying – whatever, it's just this character as you know. Explaining in-universe, for all you Star Trek nerds out there, why it's okay that they're telling different stories with the same characters. And then they proceed to just basically bite and rip off a bunch of Star Trek shows and films.
Yes.
And every film, they get closer and closer to being those characters that we know. Now, there's a logic in that because we know and like those characters. But you have the license to do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kirk can have two heads. You know, Spock can be a bad guy. You know, you can do whatever you want with it. And I wish that they would do that.
They would do more.
The original concept for Star Trek 4 when S.D. Perry was involved was S.D. Perry? Am I thinking of the guy from Journey? The original director was that, it was going to be a time travel deal. And so that maybe you could use time travel within your already displaced in the universe time thing to mess around and do stuff. But we don't know. But interesting fact, interesting you mentioned whales, because Nicholas Meyer, the director of Star Trek 2 and 6, and also wrote 2, helped on 4 and 6 as well, has also pitched a film to J.J. Abrams / Paramount.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so it could be his film.
These are different films.
Oh, they're different films. Oh, okay. I will zip. Yes. Unless you explain.
Thank you. which he put together with his writing and producing partner, Stephen Charles Jaffe. And he says that it is a treatment for an entirely new story in the Star Trek universe.
Okay.
Not using known characters, at least not focusing on them. And that it will, he said, basically fill in the holes, or it will be set within some of the unexplored parts of the Star Trek universe. So think.
Well, I like that.
My assumption is think Enterprise, think Discovery, let's set something in an era or a time or a place that we haven't, exploited yet.
I really like that a lot. And I think something that just came to mind, not Trek, but The Mandalorian, because I think that they did that well with Star Wars. So why can't you do that with Trek?
Yeah.
And I trust Meyer and his writing. And so
Well,
I really hope that this goes well.
There's two schools of thought, and these schools are old, and they exist because they work. But one is, one doesn't always work. That's doing something completely new.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Hawley is going to do a pandemic story in space or something like that.
Okay,
that's what we need right now.
Yeah, I think we're a little sick of that.
That's one thing. Another thing is play the hits.
Yeah.
And if you've got a guy who directed all the quote-unquote
good ones,
Star Trek films, who, by the way, what's his thing with whales? Star Trek 2, you got SETI Alpha 5. SETI is Latin for a whale.
Oh, God.
Then in Star Trek 4, there's whales.
Yeah.
Star Trek 6, I was hoping you would fill me in.
Who's the whale in that?
I don't think there's any whales in Star Trek 6. Maybe the cast at this point. But
wow.
But yeah, so, you know, I think that there is latitude, and Paramount is definitely in a spending phase here where they're just making it happen. We're going to talk about their shows in a second. That, why not do two films? In fact, if you want to MCU-ify your universe like you are on TV, then begin that process now at the cinema. I think that's what they're thinking. So we'll see if this goes forward. Who knows if he's got a fastball still, but I would love to see if he does, because he's been kind of quiet for a while. He did pitch that Khan Begins prequel show to them a couple of years ago that they sort of passed on, but I'd like to see what he's got in the tank still. So these are two, I think, two promising prospects for Star Trek films.
Yeah. I think I'd be a little bit more excited if Abrams wasn't attached.
But where's Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah, I was wondering that. Yeah. Any word?
Never thought that would really pan out, did you?
I was hoping, because I'm so curious as to what that would look like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's really good at, you know, he creates these genre films that highlight a lot of his inspirations. So if he is a Trek fan, which I am assuming he is, you know, I think he...
Well, I like the original series.
Yeah, right.
Kirk's back.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. But like, I think he would just kind of like get it, you know, and would be able to, he would like set the tone. And you seem not so convinced.
I think if anything, he's proven that he, you know, more than, I don't know, were his scripts ever good or were they just sort of stylish? He certainly has landed on style recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood being, this is the kind of talk you can hear on the Just Enough Drop podcast, by the way. The feel of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and its setting is strong. So, I wouldn't mind seeing... I mean, he definitely would want to take on Kirk or Spock, but I wouldn't mind seeing a Quentin Tarantino film that is set in a period. It's a period piece in the future. So he's making it like it was made in the 60s and they had like an unlimited budget or something like that.
I would love that.
And then so it's like it's all
and then like a
cat's
Kirk,
eye makeup like, and beehives and things like that.
And like a Kirk-like character that's not necessarily Kirk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that he would
just do Kirk.
If you're going to pay for him and he wants Kirk, you're going to give him Kirk. But I'd love to see, you know, somebody else from that era period. Just 10 more minutes on this and then we'll move on. But I was thinking about the fact that like, okay, so you want to do the MCU. There's plenty of characters in the Star Trek universe, you know, but can you split them up? Because you have Thor, you have Spider-Man, you got Superman. I don't know why.
The Hulk. What the Marvel is going on?
Part of my brain is asleep right now.
Iron Man.
And they all have their own movies, and they all come together.
Yeah.
But in Star Trek, you've got seven people, and they're kind of like they all have to be together.
They're a team.
So you could do a Spock movie on his own, but would it work without, you know, Bones to needle him about being a Vulcan? Racistly.
That's that totally happened. That's a really good question. I don't know, because I think one thing that makes Trek strong is that it's a team and they play off of each other.
And if I was Paramount, I would be doing my best right now to try to divide the casts or create units that can interchange with other stuff. They've already tried this in Picard. Having Seven of Nine come in and then also introducing like, I mean, if Elnor showed up on another show set at the time or maybe age him up and he's in another thing or something, that would be, you know, do that. Have units. It's like those things saying, on Facebook. You've got $10. Pick your team. You know, Thor's for $3. Spider-Man's $2. Daredevil's $1.
Right. But they kind of, right. I'm totally blanking on his name. The Borg guy who they just killed off in Picard.
Hugh.
Like, why? Why did you, the actor is alive. He's.
Tension. Plus we have to have.
So angry.
Plus.
Sorry.
Seven of Nine has to have a reason to kill the other great new character that was introduced in Picard, Narissa.
I know, like, I
everybody
don't...
has to be dead, and just a robot Picard standing above their bodies at the end. Rawr!
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, like, go down a path of venting on Picard.
That's okay. This show is very familiar with Picard rants. Speaking of shows, let's talk about shows.
Right.
ViacomCBS had their Investors Day at the end of February, where they gave updates on all the properties they have in the works, and this is a critical time for ViacomCBS. They've recently rebranded CBS All Access to Paramount Plus last week, as of this recording, and they're providing expanded content options. They gave updates on essentially all the Trek projects that they have in the works currently.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that there are currently 5 different shows in production.
Okay.
Stranger Worlds, Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks, Prodigy. And we'll talk about a 6th project at the end of this.
Oh, boy.
6.5.
There's so many. I feel like I need to keep track of all of them. Otherwise, I'm going to forget.
I'm going to help you do that.
Okay, thank you.
Because we're going to talk about Strange New Worlds.
Okay.
Which has begun production. They began on the 22nd of February.
Oh, wow.
Here's what we know about it. And I don't know if they are lensing it. Maybe by now they are. But we know it's 10 episodes long.
Okay.
Oh, no, excuse me. It's going to film in June.
Oh.
Pandemic has pushed all this stuff back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, of course, there'll be post-production work on it. And so, you know, they haven't announced it. People are speculating 2021, but there are 3 shows, spoiler alert, that are dropping in 2021. So
supposedly.
I'm not sure that this is going to make 2021.
So this would be the 4th one? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of shows.
So. Yeah. That's a lot of shows and not a lot of year left.
But we'll see as far as that goes. No real updates, just the typical talk about how it's going to be supposedly more episodic. It's going to be...
Do we know anything? I don't really remember
much
of anything.
Wouldn't it be a great time to just, hey, here's a weird alien or something like that. Or let's announce that... I don't know.
They've got
Gary Coleman is going to play, somebody or other.
Somebody, we got a big actor. We got a big TV actor.
How
something.
Far away are we from a Flash movie? But we know Supergirl's going to be in it and we know who's playing her.
Yeah.
But
right.
They're not telling us anything about Strange New Worlds, which is great.
I don't know. I don't know if I always feel like they totally know what they're doing. But anyways.
Well, I mean, you have to, you know who your characters are. You have to write scripts.
Right. But they're just not sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think that there should be, I mean, they know what they're doing. They have a lot of material to get us jazzed for. But, you know, keep that steady drip feed coming of updates, you know?
Yes.
Have people wake up every morning expecting to get some
hungry
kind of,
for more.
Oh, what's it going to be today? Come on, Gary Coleman, come on!
I need to know the Trek news.
I know that he's
right
not around anymore.
Now.
I don't know why I picked that name. Let's talk about Picard Season 2. It has begun production. Filming was supposed to start a while ago, last year.
Yeah.
But has been pushed, of course, way back because of COVID. But there was, the actress that plays Raffi had published or posted on Instagram a picture of like her name placard at a table read, presumably.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
And then one of the producers is like, here we go again.
So
they are hard at work on
Picard
Season 2. Yeah.
Can confirm.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I hope I like it better than Season 1.
Oh, no. Didn't like Season 1.
Not really. I don't know. I was really excited about it. I love Picard, as a character and just really excited that Seven of Nine was in it and everything. And I was not jazzed with what they gave us.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening in it.
Yeah.
It's tough to balance all that stuff. And it's weird because you get a creator like Michael Chabon, or any of the writers and people they have on it, and they have these big ideas. And I just talked about big swings.
Yeah.
But then you have like something like Picard, where it's like Picard is going to be a robot. We're saying goodbye to Data. Data has children.
Yep, yep.
The Borg are back. Seven of Nine is a space pirate or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's a hat store.
Yeah, and Data has twins, and one of them dies like shortly after you meet her.
Yeah, hi, bye. Yeah.
Like very violently.
Picard, just insanely violently.
Yeah.
Picard has a surrogate son who's a magical space elf.
Yeah.
He was back, he was dead.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And I know that they're just not going to have 26 episodes like they used to. And plus the pacing of TV is so much different now. But maybe like save some of it for season two. Oh, also Squids from Beyond the Galaxy want to destroy all organic life in the universe.
Also, Brett Spiner is still in it.
But I don't know where to start or where to begin.
He's like a...
Yeah, I've been hearing him say that he can't play Data anymore for 20 years, and he's back as Data. So
yeah, well, and the other doctor or what have you, which I'm still hoping will end up being Lore or something like that. That would be cool.
Oh, Soong's other son.
Yeah, but I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
He did it in Enterprise.
Yeah, I know. So, I don't know, maybe it's a been there, done that sort of thing.
Where he's like the manager of like a hair metal band. Did you get that feeling? Because there's all the augments, you know, how they rip clothes and they're teased hair.
Yeah, I know, right?
And then the old guy comes in, he's like, all right, come on, everybody, on the tour bus. Come on, we got to go.
Gotta
make this date.
Yeah, a little bit.
Don't tell me what to do. Father.
Dad. Yeah, except it was father. Yeah, right.
Disco season 4 is currently in development. The fourth season is expected to debut in late 2021. Got a lot of things stacking up in 2021 so far.
Yes.
And here's some of the news that we've got. We've got Saru will be returning. Doug Jones will return as Saru.
Oh my God. Thank you for telling us that. I was going to hurt somebody.
Oh boy. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Ian Alexander and Blue Del Barrio will both return as Gray and Adira, respectively.
Okay. Great.
For season 4. There's been a lot of kind of mealy mouthed talk about exploring things and what the future will hold. And, I expect.
What does that even mean?
Well, I mean, they can't give you any
That's like future speak. We're teasing you with stuff that
they can't
say.
They can't give any real details.
Yeah.
But they did say about the threat in this season, Kurtzman said, quote, there's been many kinds of villains over the course of Star Trek.
Yeah.
No, they're mostly just aliens from the past who are mad. Wait, or is that just the J.J. Abrams movies?
Yeah, right.
What happens when the villain is not actually any kind of living, breathing entity, but something else? How do you solve that problem? And I think the answer is you shoot them in the face after you come out of a Superman 3 computer.
What?
Real heads will know.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
I don't know if they're talking about like a virus, because it kind of sounds like a virus, doesn't it?
Why are we doing this?
Or are they talking about?
I hope it's not a virus.
Well, we'll see. Or they could be talking about something that we've speculated on about this show, and I've heard on the internet just the idea of societal malaise. They come into the 32nd century with a broken Federation, and just because they killed the Wicked Witch and ate the apples made from poop doesn't mean that they've got all their problems fixed. So maybe it's more of a world building thing, and I would really like to see that.
I'd like to see that too. I hope it is that what you just suggested, because that would be cool.
Well, from my mouth to Alex's ear, we'll see.
Yeah.
Lower Decks is also going to return this year for a second season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
Production is currently underway. And Mike McMahon, whose job is to be interviewed, did his job well and was interviewed. He talked about how now that the secret of Boimler's parentage is out, they'll be able to be more open about that. That'll be less of a thing. But also the show won't focus so much on the Boimler Or not Boimler.
Mariner.
Mariner's parentage.
I was like, who was Boimler's parents? We'll and I was like, maybe.
We will definitely meet Boimler's parents.
I was like, maybe I am just completely forgetting.
Mariner. It won't be the Boimler-Mariner show. It'll be bringing Tendi and Rutherford in as well and try to spread it out a little more.
Well, I kind of wish they had done like that initially.
Like their inspiration, TNG. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But all right, good.
There'll be a new head of security.
Yeah,
well, I think he died as he lived, exuberantly. They're going to have, Billups is going to have an episode, I guess. I think Billups is Paul Scheer's character, the chief engineer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So they're spreading it around.
As you do.
Yeah.
All right. 10 episodes still?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of animation, the Hageman Brothers show, Star Trek Prodigy, is, of course, in development. A couple, right around the time of the investor meeting, they released a tweet with a picture of the bridge crew, which contained no recognizable aliens, as far as I could tell.
Which I was a little surprised by. Like, I think it's cool that we're expanding the Trek sphere, if you will, right? The Trek universe. And that there are new aliens. I think I, just personally, I would have liked to have seen at least one alien that I recognized so I could look at it and be like, that's Trek.
Well, here's the deal.
Hmm.
There is one little kind of Wally-looking robot character. Some people who work on the show were sort of texting to each other. And they're saying, oh boy, when people find out about derp, 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 oh my God, I can't wait. They're going to flip their lids.
So that robot character is like the robots from Discovery, is what you're saying.
No. No. Oh. They're saying that is a secret person. Now, I've also heard the Hageman brothers on Twitter, people asked them why they hadn't shown Janeway yet.
Yeah.
And they said, we can't do it now. We'll do it when the time is right because there's a lot to explain. So, here's a weird idea. I think Janeway is in the robot.
What?
I think that this is maybe set, once again, in the far-flung future, where there's all kinds of new aliens and new worlds in our Milky Way galaxy, and that this is like a recreation of Janeway, or like a Janeway AI or something like that, and she's in the robot. Because why wouldn't they just show her already? And and what are we supposed to squee over when we realize what it is? What else would be in the robot? The doctor?
Candy.
Get him, boys! Candy. Star Trek quinceañera.
Yeah, oh my God. The most expensive quinceañera ever, because it's a robot. I guess I'm reminded, when you first said that they were like, we can't show her yet, I had a flash of the, the famous people's heads from Futurama. So I guess it's not. Yeah, I guess.
Chilled up.
I guess that's not that much of a further step to say that she's in a robot, you know, and it's. Maybe it's her, it's a recreation of her, what have you.
Because, I mean, like, she had a career before.
Yeah.
She, you know, took command of Voyager.
Yeah.
She had a career after she took command of Voyager. We don't know. We don't know if she becomes, you know, Admiral Janeway that we see in Endgame. But we know she becomes an admiral.
Mm-hmm.
And so her life isn't all mapped out. But where would something like helping a ragtag band of unrecognizable aliens learn to have fun in the universe, where would that fit into her timeline? What if it
was? No, she's retired. She's like, her dog is passed on.
What if it was out of her timeline? It wasn't even in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't hate it. I'm warming up to the idea as we're talking.
Well, that's just us pitching things. Here's some scoops that we know. First of all, I wanted to mention that Star Trek Prodigy was intended to originally appear on Nickelodeon, but the plans have changed, which you can do when you own all the networks, and it will now premiere on Paramount Plus. Then once it's complete, 10 episodes on Paramount Plus, it will air on Nickelodeon. So somebody at the higher up went, ooh, these feet so chilly. Let's make sure the value is all in this service that we're trying to get people to sign up for, then broadcast kids can have it.
I guess I can't say that I blame them, but I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, but you knew you were going to turn this thing into Paramount Plus.
Yeah, like,
you knew
I
that
know.
Months ago. Yeah. So anyway, that's what they're doing with that.
Okay.
And then the biggest surprise of all, after 33 years, Bill Campbell will reprise his role as the outrageous O'Connor on Star Trek Prodigy.
What?
This guy's so outrageous. He's just knocking chicks up left and right. But he doesn't get the shot. He doesn't get the shot.
Oh my God. What?
Why?
Why this character?
I don't know. I have no idea. Now that, should that tell us something about the setting?
I don't know.
Because if it's, you know, you look at Bill Campbell today.
Yeah.
He looks like Bill Campbell from 33 years
ago.
Yeah,
sure.
Just about.
Yeah.
But since it's his voice and you're going to, you know, get this classic character, a man who read for the part of William Riker but didn't get it.
Then that would have been a very different
You don't
want
to do old, probably would have about the same.
You think?
Although he wouldn't have become a director like Frakes did, so you're absolutely right. The edifice of the Trek sphere would have been different. if you're going to get this guy, then you're going to do classic O'Connor, right? You wouldn't make him old O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's classic O'Connor, we're talking like the 2360s, right? If it's the 2360s, is Janeway, you know, on the Albatani still? That's what the ship she was on, right?
I don't remember.
Does she have her command? Because maybe then it's younger Janie. Now, Gooey Fame and I have speculated that it's, if all the kids are, all the characters are kids, maybe it's Kid Janeway.
Yeah, I like that idea.
It's little Janie.
And she's still,
but maybe
still
we'll
like,
get a young officer Janie.
Yeah, but she's still obsessed with
science
coffee.
Officer.
And,
yeah,
you know.
She's working her way up to it.
Yeah, right.
She's like, no, I'll take the freeze-dried stuff. She hasn't learned the value of good coffee yet. So we'll see. Billy Campbell talked about, you know, I won't quote him, but he just basically was like, yeah, it was just crazy. Like, you know, I did that role and it was an early thing for me. It was great. And then they called me like 30 years later and I was like, okay, sure.
So wow.
I think he's a little surprised too, but we'll see how he fits in.
Okay. All right.
Thadium O'Connor.
That's the first name.
I honestly don't know if that was, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes when you write something, you cut things out. So I don't know if that came off the floor from 33 years ago or if somebody who grew up reading Star Trek or Star Wars novels named this guy.
The first name.
I hate that name.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
No.
Okay. Here's the deal. Notice I didn't mention Section 31.
Right.
The show that, let's see, 1, 2, 3, except for the ones that are already on, was quote unquote announced before all of these shows that are in development.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know what's going on with Section 31. Alex Kurtzman says that they
apropos.
Are in conversations, quote unquote. Still with star Michelle Yeoh.
Okay.
Also, when interviewed about the show, he said specifically, quote, the truth is, that for Section 31, the idea of doing that show, it was Michelle Yeoh's. She deserves all the credit for that. She actually came to me before we even aired the first season of Discovery. So here's why I think that we're not going to get Section 31 anytime soon, except for the fact that they basically announced no new shows until these shows are done, I think.
Wow.
So, I mean, except for something like Discovery, which I would assume you'd want Discovery to go as long as possible.
Yeah, I would assume so,
I don't think they're going to make any new shows until these are, you know, all buttoned
up. Have run their course.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
If you're a producer, especially if you are the executive, the head producer of the entire enchilada, you don't give somebody else credit for something.
Right.
If you were excited about this project, you would say something to the effect of, we worked hard with Michelle on that, and we still are, you know, and we are excited to blah, blah, blah. Instead, he's like, that's her idea.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it sounds like he's throwing her underneath the bus, and if I were her, I'd be ticked.
Well, if she even remembers.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, she's a movie star.
I know.
She doesn't, we need them, she, or her. She doesn't need us.
Yeah, right.
But anyway,
you should be careful.
That's what's going on with that.
Okay.
To the that effect, Kurtzman also said, quote, despite all appearances, we're not interested in being in the quantity business. I don't think that serves the Star Trek universe. We are interested in being in the quality business. here are another 10 shows.
Yeah, like you say that out of one side of your mouth, but on the other side of your mouth, you're like,
a lot of shows.
Oh, it's a lot of shows.
There are three shows with at least 10 episodes apiece, all dropping this year. Now we are in the 41 weeks left in the year.
Right.
And these shows aren't even done. So unless they're going to overlap, and now Prodigy won't even be on Nickelodeon, it'll be on Paramount Plus.
Right.
We are, if they want to do another 23 weeks of Trek, we are definitely going to hit a point where things overlap, right?
We have to.
Which is what they always said they wanted to avoid.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, look, I'd be as happy as a pig in poop. Like, I want all the Star Trek I can get. But this doesn't seem to be the plan.
No.
Coronavirus delays and schedule snafus aside.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's just...
And what about the Starfleet Academy show?
It's over... Oh, well, I don't care about that.
It's still...
I don't know.
No, nobody has said anything about it. It's still... The URL is trademarked or whatever. Like, they still have it on the books, but no movement on the Starfleet Academy show.
I don't know. Like, maybe make that an animated show or something like that. Like, I think...
That'd be cool.
I mean... The thing about it is, like, you can easily imagine it, right? And you could have endless amounts of aliens, like, coming in and, you know,
dragging each other through fire extinguisher foam and going, I'm sorry.
Right.
Does everybody get the same test?
Yeah, right. Hey, exactly.
Have you got the test yet?
Yeah, I know.
Right? Which one? Oh, it's really easy. You just got to pull a guy through. They go, no. And then you just get in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a problem.
No.
I aced it. First time. Well, it's not all news about Star Trek shows. We got some news about Star Trek books as well. All
right.
So this is really interesting. This is really interesting. David Mack announced a little while ago now that he and James Swallow and Dayton Ward...
All right.
We're all collaborating on a new Star Trek book trilogy.
Okay.
Entitled Star Trek Coda.
All right.
And they've been working on it for a while.
Oh.
I've talked to two or three of those guys and they didn't say anything to me.
Yeah.
So well, I guess it was super secret.
That's how it goes sometimes.
But anyway.
Yeah.
And the three books are Moments Asunder by Dayton Ward, The Ashes of Tomorrow by James Swallow, and Oblivion's Gate by David Mack.
Okay.
They will be set in the currently existing Star Trek book continuity.
Okay.
And the title Coda makes me think we're bringing it to an end.
Oh. So we're bringing this Trek book continuity to an
Dayton
end.
Dayton Ward, David Mack, to a somewhat but not much lesser extent, James Swallow. These guys are
big names,
big producers, architects of the ongoing books, past the shows. And so, you know, a huge trilogy that's pre-planned,
that's
literally named after the end of a song,
kind
of seems like this is going to be the sunset of the ongoing Berman era Trek books.
That makes me kind of sad.
I don't know how to feel about it.
I haven't.
Especially because they just took all those people and just made them write CBS Trek books and everything's going fine. You know, why can't we just keep those books going?
So,
I don't know. I'm sure that they will have to continue in some capacity. You're not going to stop writing books about Jean-Luc Picard's Enterprise, right?
I wouldn't think so.
Those would always sell.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I don't know. I mean, that show's 30 years old now.
But there are still new fans, I think, coming to it. I think. And like, and old fans returning to it.
Yeah, lesser every year.
Okay.
So right. We'll see. But congratulations to those guys. Also, congratulations to John Jackson Miller, who also announced a new Trek book that he's doing. So, yeah. If you like Trek books, it's a good time to be alive.
Great.
Stay alive. The books will find you. Some other Star Trek news. Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard have been nominated for a total of 7 Saturn Awards.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it was announced at the 46th Annual Saturn Awards, or the announcements for the 46th Annual Saturn Awards have been made. Patrick Stewart was nominated for Best Actor on a television series for Picard. And he has been nominated 5 times previously. He's won 2 Saturn Awards.
Okay.
I don't go through all of these, but maybe I'll pick and choose. Here's who he's up against.
Okay.
See if you can pick a winner out of this.
Oh, boy.
Henry Cavill from The Witcher.
Well, Mike, popular.
Mike Coulter from Evil, the CBS series Evil.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Gustin from The Flash.
Okay.
How big is this category? Sam Heughan for Outlander. Oh, my gosh. Think about Sam's chances for being the new Bond. He's at 5-2 right now.
Pretty
high.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Odds on favorite.
I mean, that would be exciting. I like him.
I guess.
But is he like, not that
I don't
matters.
Know if he's actually Scottish.
I was going to ask.
I know.
That's what I was getting at.
I know.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's got the association there.
Yeah.
Jonathan Majors for Lovecraft Country and Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul.
Wow. That's a huge category.
Love Better Call Saul. Saturn, yes. Awards?
Yeah.
Saturn Awards.
Isn't it like Saturn Awards? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Does he invent a teleporter in the fifth
sci-fi
season?
Sci-fi or like fantasy or that sort of thing.
Sonequa Martin-Green has been nominated for Best Actress.
Okay.
Now she's up against Catriona Balfi from Outlander, Melissa Benoist from Supergirl, Regina King from Watchmen,
mm-hmm.
Tandy Newton from Westworld, Candace Patton from The Flash, and Rhea Seehorn for Better Call Saul.
Okay. I don't know. That category, I've heard, you know, Watchmen had a lot of buzz around it.
Yeah.
And
plus, I mean, it's Regina King.
I know. Gosh, I don't know for the Patrick Stewart for the I mean, people freaking love The Witcher.
What
but
if they went
love,
two for two? What if it was Burnham and Picard up on that stage?
Yeah.
What a coup.
That would be cool.
Big raise for Alex Kurtzman.
Yeah.
In the category of Best Supporting Actor, Doug Jones was nominated for Star Trek Discovery.
Yay!
So,
well
fingers
deserved.
Fingers crossed for that. But
yeah.
Jonathan Banks is going to take him down. Actually, Norman. Who are we kidding? Norman Reedus is going to take the whole thing, right?
Oh my gosh.
He'll steal everybody else's awards at Crossbow Point. Issa Briones was nominated for Best Performance by a Younger Actor on a TV Series for Star Trek Picard.
Very cool.
And I don't know any of the other people
that
she's up against.
Oh. Well, how is it? Was it the award specifically say it says like somebody?
Yeah, I didn't
young?
Know they had a category for a younger actor, but they do.
I didn't know that
That's
either.
That's not a bad thing. Then you're not.
No.
You're not. She's 6'3". She's an NBA player. She's
Elizabeth Debicki.
Elizabeth, you're not up against Meryl Streep, you know, for some movie that you did and you worked really hard.
Or Dame Judi Dench.
And then Judi Dench comes in and just steals the whole thing. Yeah,
right.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
we don't need more Oscar categories though.
No.
And then Jeri Ryan has been nominated for Best Guest Starring Performance for her role on Star Trek Picard.
Very nice. I love Seven and Nine.
You know who she's up against?
Who?
Kate Mulgrew for her role on Mr. Mercedes.
What?
Oh, I mean, the hatchets. It's underground by now, right?
God, I would hope so.
Let's hope
but
they
I'm a little worried.
Let's hope they both lose. Whoever wins, we lose.
Well, maybe the awards will be virtual, so then, like, they can't actually have any physical altercation.
What are they going to do?
I know. They're too professional to do something like
I
that.
I got some good news and some bad news.
Okay.
Here's the good news. The Indiegogo campaign for a Voyager documentary from the creators of For the Love of Spock and What We Left Behind.
Yes.
Launched on the 1st of March, and it has already reached $680,000.
Wow.
Of its $150,000 goal.
What?
Yes, they have
That's
quadrupled
great.
Their goal.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's so exciting. I'm so psyched. That's cool.
That means a couple different things.
Yeah.
I'm not clear on all the stretch goals, but it means that it can be expanded to 90 minutes.
Mm.
There's a bunch of extra stuff that the contributors will get due to stretch goals, bits and bobs, and I think... you either get a copy or you get a chance to buy a copy. We know that when they did the DS9 doc, some of the stretch goals were extended interviews, a musical score, extra remastered footage.
Yes.
And that made a ton of money as well. So, yeah, it looks like it'll take a while to make. I know the DS9 one did, but we will get a DS9 What We Left Behind level Voyager doc.
That's so cool. I'm excited about that. I hope... you know, fingers crossed that theaters actually open up again. And when they do and this film is released, it'll be released in theaters like the DS9 doc was.
Going to see that was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
That was really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of crying. Yeah. There are 21 days left as of this recording to contribute. So you can head to @VOY, VOY documentary on Twitter if you'd like to add to their treasure. And the bad news, is that veteran actor Christopher Plummer passed away last month on February 5th. He, of course, played General Chang in Star Trek VI.
Yes.
But was in just a ton of other stuff. And like near the end there was just in stuff all over the place. He did that thing where it's like, whatever happened to that guy? I said, no, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
He's replacing Kevin Spacey and stuff. We're just inserting him into things now. He was all over the place.
He was very actively working, which was great to see. Yeah. Just a wonderful actor.
Yeah, amazing actor. Really nice guy. He had a history with William Shatner.
Oh, really?
Both Canadians.
Okay.
Both, I think, from around Montreal, but both worked together at the Montreal Rep.
Oh, okay.
And actually, Shatner was an understudy for Christopher Plummer in a 1956 production of Henry V.
Really?
At the Stratford Festival.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot that he is not British. Like, I always, when I think of Christopher Plummer, I think that he's English, and he's not.
No.
Or he was not. Yeah, I grew up watching him on The Sound of Music is probably what the first thing I saw him in, and you know, just love that.
Yeah,
film.
Of course.
Yeah,
and of course, all this just continues to foment the question in my mind: did the Shakespeare come first, or did the casting come first? This doesn't answer that question for me.
No, it does not. No, it does not.
Because you got Shakespeare, you got William Shatner, you got Christopher Plummer,
yeah,
and you're doing Star Trek VI. Mm-hmm. And you got a character that speaks almost exclusively in
Shakespeare quotes
and allusions. Yep. So, yeah.
Yep. We need a Shakespeare actor with gravitas.
Yes, yes. He, of course, played Chang in Star Trek VI. He was also in the 2000 video game Star Trek Klingon Academy and filmed some scenes for that.
Ah!
And I'll say,
that's fantastic.
I haven't played the game, but I've watched the videos.
Yeah.
He does an okay job. It's not quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to put it on him, but I can imagine if, like, he didn't read the back of his contract and suddenly he's stuck doing
doing this
one-eyed character in a video game. Like, okay, fine. I understand. But apparently, like he said in 2011 for the Captain's documentary with William Shatner, he said that he had been a serious Trekkie before he was ever even cast.
Oh, cool.
He lived in England in the 1960s,
hmm,
which is why you might think he's English, and watched it when it came over there.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just always thought he had like an English accent. Like I had that in my head.
One.
Oh, I'm sure he can.
He's a trained actor.
Yes. Yes.
Have we not heard the chimes at midnight? Give real money if he'd shut up. Well, I think that's going to be it for our news check-in for this week. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
Star Trek news and remind people where they can find you and your work online.
Yes, you can find me at justenoughtrope.com and at MeekonHana on Twitter.
Great.
Yes.
Anything coming up you want to talk about on your various podcasts?
For Sailor Noob, we are in the Sailor Moon R, which is the second season in the Black Moon arc. Chibiusa has just showed up and... we're dealing with that, and all of the villains have couture influenced outfits.
Now we got to go on to an anime podcast and be the thing about the founders is that they really underestimated the spirit of the Cardassian people, and the anime fans are like, "What?
What are you talking about?" This isn't what this show is supposed to be about. For Just Enough Trope this week, I think we're going to do it, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, but I think it's going to be a Tom Holland double feature.
Tom Holland double feature.
And it's going to be Chaos Mocking and Cherry.
Wow.
So,
The star power of Tom Holland put to the ultimate test.
Yeah. Your co-hosts are not okay. Just so you, if you want to check in with us, we're not doing okay. Just the thought of this double feature, double header, we're a little worried.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to watch Bloodshot. Somebody has to watch the Bloodshots of the world.
We took that for the team, and we did that. That's the last film we saw in the
Mask
theater.
Mask on, everybody. Mask on.
We were like, we are risking our lives for Bloodshot. What were we thinking?
It's not that much of a risk, then, if you're going to watch Chaos Walking yeah, at home. So good luck with that.
Oh, thanks.